Welcome to the Evolving Enterprises podcast. We have stories of growth and transformation. I'm delighted to introduce Susanna Barbosa, who is a Site K facilitator. Welcome, Susanna.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a great pleasure. Tell me about your own journey in life. What led you to working with complex systems?
Yeah, I think intuitively it's always been part of my life. I don't believe I knew the terminology back then, but I think it's always been part of me. So I started out as a musician, working for 16 years as a performer, singer, writer. And then I wanted to have a family. So I chose a different path. I chose to come to Denmark and continue my studies. And I went into strategic design and entrepreneurship and was really passionate about nature. I started the Biomimicry Hub here in Denmark, which is part of the Biomimicry Institute chapter. Biomimicry Hub is a chapter here in Denmark. I was always passionate about nature, the non-linear, open, dynamic systems, and always thought to myself, I seem to really resonate in this world, but we live in a linear, very siloed world. So I wrote my thesis, and I called it the Biomimicry and the Inner Revolutionary Paradigm Towards Regeneration and Sustainability. Became really passionate about that conversation. So that's kind of where it started for me. It's really, how can we look through the lens of nature and live our life, whether that's through business, relationships, in any aspect of our lives.
Absolutely. As you described, there's the non-linearness of it, isn't there? We sort of start out in life with people telling you that, you know, things are very linear and you just do this and do that. And actually it's non-linear and it's complex and it's chaotic. And, you know, there's all of the, you know, the issues of chaos theory, of, you know, there being small changes that make massive impact. And so it's a lot, isn't it? And you've taken a really interesting path because you've embraced that. A lot of people hide from it. A lot of people say, oh, this is too difficult. I'll stick my head in the sand. I'll pretend it's all linear and I'll just carry on doing what I was doing. But you really embraced it, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I was always kind of labeled as an odd kid, even from my family. And I always felt like an outsider in many ways, didn't understand what the oddity was. And I think it's because the worldview that just makes so much sense to me is that flexibility, is that interdisciplinary approach to life, where there's many ontologies, not just one, especially in indigenous cultures or the Western word we say regeneration, you know, the new conversation around interconnectedness.
And it's something that comes up quite a lot, actually, the indigenous view of the world, that, you know, we are very much part of everything around us, that it influences us and we have an influence. And I think the Western view is that we can do whatever we like to the planet, and it's all going to be okay. And we know that that's wrong. We know that that's not going to work. We know that, you know, the waste that we leave behind has, you know, a problem for generations. But we choose to ignore it, don't we?
To believe that our abstract concepts of separate things and events are realities of nature is an illusion. So many great thinkers have come to that conclusion, whether they work in physics or anything else, but why isn't it part of our normal social structures?
Exactly. It's so odd, isn't it? Because one of the big problems we've got is the enormity. And I think the reason, and I'm not sort of, you know, totally defending this sort of this view, but I think if you come in to run anything, if you come in as the head of a company or as the head of state or whatever, you tend to break things up into areas. You know, you'll tend to have somebody who's responsible for one part of your activity. And the problem is that all overlaps with everything else. And so it's very difficult. You know, how do we really go about dealing with something that's so big?
Yeah, and that's a good question. And it's also because of the way we've been conditioned in society to function in that manner. If we brought engineers and designers and biologists together, we could solve problems in such a different way. But because ego gets in the way of I'm right, rather than focusing on the core vision and mission of what we really need in society, we've been awarded with this idea of this is the right way to do it. When I'm facilitating Site K sessions, and the reason why we say facilitating, because we're not healers. We're simply there to facilitate, and the people are the ones that are taking an empowering stance for their mindset, for their spirit, in order to be aware of the behaviors that are happening in their life. And when we talk about complex systems, there's also things called complex trauma. And I'm not an expert in that, but what I do notice coming up over and over again is I've shared this story where I'm currently still working with her, but after one session, we did something around, you know, she has a big rash all over her body and it started to go on her face. Then we had the conversation of, well, what's going on? You know, she says, well, I have a demanding client. Okay, so what's the issue? And it became that the client's very demanding, but she kept all of her boundaries or all of her thoughts or her speak of truth hidden, and she wouldn't say anything. So instead, she would just, you know, just let it pile up. And she was doing that with everybody. So when I asked the question about boundaries, it really triggered her. And the question of being worthy. If you don't feel worthiness, how are you going to feel worthy to speak your truth? So we had to work around her respecting her boundaries, that it's okay to speak truth. And then she had a memory come up and she remembers, she put a hand over her mouth. She goes, I just had a vision, because after we did a session, you know, things sometimes pop up. And she remembers her mom covering her mouth and apologizing. And she said, I don't want to be like my mother. And I said, did your mother have issues with boundaries? And she said, yes, all her life. The fear that her daughter had around not being her mother and saying something inappropriate has inhibited her from ever speaking her truth because she didn't want to be like her mother. You know, once we transform that, 2 days later, she messages me and says, my rash is gone after 2 days, half of the rash. And that night, the action step was to speak her truth. You can still be kind, direct. You don't have to, you know, and that's, you know, the worry of saying something inappropriate is about saying things as they come, if they bother you. But she just kept burying it. And of course, what happens is fire. So she's angry inside and it literally looked like fire on her face. So that's the power. That's the power of when we start working with the subconscious mind. You know, I'm really passionate about it. This one I just did the other day. So this young woman has fallen in love, but they're very far apart. One's in Denmark, one's in South Africa. And as she was talking to me, she said, you know, but if it doesn't, I would love to move there. It's beautiful. But if it doesn't work out, you know, it's going to be expensive. I want to see my family, you know, and then I don't want to regret it. So there is her logic, you know, and fear, logic coming in. It's not, what if it doesn't work out? I, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I have to start all over again. Okay. So she's a planner and that's fine. But as we start to transform the stress, that we call it transformation of perception of stress, because of course, stress, it's a perception. We create those stresses in our mind. Once we transform that, the action step that was suggested was, well, why don't you, your next paycheck, it's coming at the end of this month, you set up a bank account that says South Africa, and you start putting money there because your relationship is new. So it's not like you're going to move right away, but you start putting money in there because women, as women, we need security. We need to feel safe. As soon as that happens, she's like, I feel more in control. While she was having her discussions with her boyfriend online, she couldn't be present because she was worried all the time about what if this doesn't work out? And then what happens, right? You want it to work out, but you're sabotaging it by not being present. So she wanted to be present, share her love. Boom, like her face lit up. Everything started to change. She says, you know, he always sets up beautiful online like surprise dates. I'm going to do one. And the decisions start to change because you're not obsessing about the stress of what could happen. And it is a spiral. One decision to another is what shifts and changes our reality and behaviors.
Totally. Yeah, it's fascinating what the lady was saying about, you know, what if it doesn't work out? And that's a really bad thing because the mind, you know, just doesn't compute that. You're focusing on what if it doesn't, whereas, you know, can you focus on an image of something that does work out? You know, that's always good. You've moved that dialogue, haven't you? Which is really great.
Yeah, and I know you do that with your work too. And I really, really love the idea that you say, where are you now and where do you want to be? Draw it out. You know, getting people to take action, put that pen or that pencil and to draw it out actually activates something in the subconscious mind because the subconscious mind sees in pictures. You know, so it's really cool. I really love this work, and it's so meaningful, and it is so complex.
Thinking about your own journey, where was it that you began to expand your worldview? Where did you begin to go from that kind of worldview that we're all kind of born into, where everything's in little boxes and it's all nice and linear, to understanding that things are more complex?
Well, I'm not sure, but I have an inkling that when I was a child, I was partially deaf in I had a tumor in my right ear and I couldn't hear anything at all, barely ever. So as a child, understanding my world, I couldn't hear it, but I could see it and I could feel it. I started to understand people from an energetic level, I guess you could say, as they were speaking, I could sense and feel what was happening. But then I would notice, I sense and feel what's happening, but the body language, there were patterns started to appear, are different than what I'm feeling. And then as I got, I am 80% deaf in this year. I only have my left. I also had problems with my left. And as I started to hear again, only at the age of 7, my whole world changed. And I started to really, for me, patterns became part of my way of coping. I grew up in a very traumatic environment where there was a lot of violence. My mother was an incredible woman. It was, she was never violent with me, but I started to ask questions of what makes people tick. Why is this behavior happening? I started to really be interested and curious. I am a definitely curious cat, and I know you are too. And I love that. So my refuge became spending my summers in the Azores with my cousins and my grandmother. And the Azores, my family's from an island called San Miguel, and it is just the most enchanting, gorgeous, just beautiful place. And I've been going since I was a child. And it's, even though I go there almost every year, I'm still in awe of its beauty. But I started to pay attention to how I was feeling. I started to pay attention to the patterns of the weather, of the ocean, of especially the way people responded in the environment. And I started to ask a lot of questions. I started to intuitively know that we have nature, which is a 3.8 billion years of R&D, have made things work and have innovated if they needed to be flexible, adaptable, without chemicals, without harsh chemicals, but they have found a way to thrive. So I would always ask myself, well, how can we do that as a society? How can we do that as business? How can we do that relationships? You know, when I was a singer, I wrote about nature being my first true love because it felt like home. And so I would say the Azores, definitely the nature and the complexity and nonlinear way of that nature works in spirals. It still fascinates me. So that's what I'm really, really interested in. And of course, it's the interconnectedness of how everything works together in nature. It's so beautiful. The fractals of, we see a tree, it looks chaotic, but actually they are working within Fibonacci sequences in order to get, distributed light within the trees. There's just so many examples in nature that tell us all the time, teaching us all the time, if we take the time to observe. So nature is my greatest teacher. And indigenous cultures, this is normal for them. That's a reality that is normal. It is us in the Western world that has been conditioned a little bit odd, I think.
It is, absolutely. I mean, there's a wonderful film many years ago I watched where sort of a very kind of born and bred city type ended up in the country and couldn't stand it. There's all the noise and there's all the smells and all the other things. And his job was to build a motorway. And so he was said, "Oh, just crack on." He says, "More of this blessed nature." And of course, it didn't end very well. that's the thing. If we try and fight nature, if we bring the laws of, the concrete jungle with us, that is not going to work. And it's simple. Simply isn't. Nature is an immensely powerful and immensely connected entity, and so we've got to respect it. And if we don't respect it, then it's going to come back and let you know that you haven't respected it, as we see with climate change.
And the requirement of patience. We don't have in this culture nowadays the level of, I just don't see patience anymore. Nature has, I always say slow and steady wins the race. I'm a truly believer in that now. I used to be like, go, 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 be ambitious. I have to control it. If I want this, I have to call this and do that. And now it's more about understanding and feeling the reciprocity of those opportunities that are coming in and out. Because when we're in that de-stress state, when we're balanced, we tend to have a better view. We have the capacity to expand our view and really see what's happening, make conscious decisions rather than that subconscious fear, the fight or flight.
Absolutely. And that's such a great thing. If you're in an organization, if you're working to change the world, to make it better in any way, shape or form, whether it be as a charity, whether it be sort of as a formal company, or just on your own, just trying to make your own kind of garden work better, whatever it is, just actually trying to take that view of how does it all fit together and living and, you know, working with that view.
I was a singer and I was making some money, able to get by, but not enough. So I approached this gym and the owner was living under the boxing ring that he got from LA upstairs. That's where he was sleeping. And I had worked in the fitness gym for, you know, a chain for many years. And I said, well, hire me. I'll help you out. I'll get you all set up. Within 3 months, I grew the profit within 33%. I made him $70,000 within the third month. And he was just like, okay. You know, the funny thing is when we understand the customer, we understand not just the customer, but the environment that this facility was in, and really understanding the needs. I started connecting. I started to bring the neighborhood together. I started to say, hey, okay, there's a bike shop over there. Why don't we set up some type of motivation where if people work out within a certain time a month, we put their name in a draw and they can win a bike. And then I started to connect other people in the community. It started to grow so big because we connected. He was just a lone wolf sitting in there praying, please, you know, I need my, you know, whatever it was. But organizing, creating structure for when people walk in the door, paying attention to what the health that they want to transform, listening to their needs. I feel that there's so many companies that don't really understand their customer. You know, for me, that's what it's all about. Otherwise, I don't want to do it. You know, I'm not interested in the product itself. I'm interested in the customer and what their needs are. And if that isn't a need, we need to move on, or it needs to be modified, or we need to pivot, or whatever it takes, you know. So there's so many ways to solve these problems. But when we think about it from a systems thinking approach, we see the whole picture, but we take into consideration all of those little pieces that create the whole.
Yeah. And as you say, getting to know the person, getting to know where they came from. What is it? Are they motivated? I often say it's that people are either racehorses or camels. They're motivated away from something or towards something. And you hit the nail on the head. They're motivated towards something. They want to get fit. They want to, you know, a bike would help them. So why not? A raffle for a bike would be a great way to bring more people in. And it's just finding those things that really, really help. And is that, as you said before, the tipping point, the point where you can really just get a system to work. It's so fascinating to hear about that kind of journey that you've taken in kind of developing yourself and developing, you know, businesses using that approach. So what can people do to live as their best self? What's the best way for people to live as, you know, as their real self, their best self?
Well, you know, I think there's Psyche workshops all over the world. I don't get anything for this. So I don't receive money for this, but I tell people whenever they want to do sessions with me, and, you know, they have to pay for that. I tell them, instead of buying sessions with me, you know, instead of buying sessions, take the workshop. It's 3 days. It's like €1,000. It's worth way more than that. Learn how to, because I've done it all. I've done the Tony Robbins. I've done everything you can think of. Because the reality is I knew what I deserved and what I wanted, but it wasn't happening. The subconscious mind is like 400 billion, you know, bits stronger than the conscious mind. Because the other thing is when I work with people, like, let's say, you know, this woman who had the rash in the end, she said, she felt so ashamed. She says, I'm bitter. The thing is we become bitter and scared because we are living subconsciously. We are doing things from a place of fear. And then we start to feel like we missed our lives. You know, she said, I don't have kids. I don't have a partner. She gave everything for her work life because that was her identity. And now she's, you know, 47 years old and she feels bitter. And, you know, and sometimes when I'm doing sessions with people, they feel shame when we do sessions about, like, when we say, you know, I'm lovable, or I love and respect myself. And it's weak when we do kinesiology, and it's weak. They feel shame. And I said, listen, the subconscious mind, there's no judgment. somehow, some way you got that programming. It's in the software. We just need to get it out. Let's not judge it. Let's not dwell on it. We don't have to know where the trauma came from. It may appear all of a sudden, but that's not the point. Psyche isn't about going deep into conversation. It's about transforming it. We need to update the software, and that's that. We can't start analyzing and feeling bad and shame and guilt about it. It's about, what do you want? Let's figure out what that looks like. What is a meaningful statement? What stresses do you want to transform into your life? Let's go into whole brain state and transform that. You know, we have psychologists who have taken these classes. We had a psychiatrist who's like, you know, she was very angry, you know, after doing one day, the first day. She's like, I spent 9 years in school to do psychiatry. And now I'm doing a weekend course. And she's like, I can feel the difference. But it bothered her because it's true. Psyche is a very simple process and modality. And it took me a long time to believe that it could be that effective. And I asked my teacher, Rosie Pletzer, and I asked her, well, how can this be true? How can you change a program in our mind? And then all of a sudden, it's subtle and gentle, where we are behaving different. She says, because we live in a world where we were taught that things have to be hard in order to change. Things have to be difficult. It's got to be a long process. It's going to take years. Yeah, it's been 5 years and I'm still working on stuff. And it's never, you know, it's never going to be perfect, but that isn't the point. So I had to, you know, literally brainwash myself with, you know, change is easy for me. Being adaptable. There's even, you know, a list of like nature concepts. You know, I adapt in the flow of nature. I adapt in a way of nature, the way nature does, or in, you know, I'm excited by it. You know, I don't feel hindered by it. And I think if we learned to live in the way that nature does, it flows in and out, and we learn to adapt, you know, then I would love to see a world like that. And I know it sounds really idealistic, but that's what I believe.
Absolutely. And then the more that people are attuned and attuned to themselves, the more that they can, as you say, change the programming and get to that kind of point of not being scared. We see so much of, you know, people, certainly the work that I do in organizations, people will present me their risk register. Right, so that's what you're afraid of. So what do you want? What do you want out of this company? Oh, haven't really written that down. Which means you haven't written it down. You've got enough risks to worry about. What's the bit that you actually want? You know, and it sometimes there's particular organizations and, you know, they are more civil service-like than anything else, but where you're literally pulling out the, what would you really, really like? What would you want this organization to do? They can tell you about, you know, their financial risks and their data risks, and they can tell you about, you know, their worries about legislation and the future and everything else, but they can't tell you what they want. And that really goes back to, you know, why are you so scared?
That being fearlessly honest, like I won't take anybody that is not willing to be fearlessly honest with themselves. Are you behaving in a way that is consistent with the life that you desire? And if it's not, then we do understand there is a subconscious program in that software that needs to be updated. And if people aren't willing to acknowledge it and become aware of it, then it doesn't work, because I, you know, they have to decide what they want. And that is the most important thing. People will tell me, they'll talk and they'll start telling me their problems, and I don't want this. And I'll say, well, what do you want? What do you want? It's so hard for people to articulate. It's very, very interesting. But we also haven't taught people that. It hasn't been conditioned in our society to think in that way.
But you're doing a fantastic job, and you are changing society, changing people. It's a wonderful thing. We could talk for a great many days about this. We're just about out of time, so I do have to stop at that point. But please do come back and join me again sometime soon.
I would love that. Thank you so much, Martin. You brought so much pleasure to me today with this podcast and being able to share together and co-share this knowledge. It's really cool. Thank you.
Totally brilliant. Thank you. So this is the Evolving Enterprises podcast. We have stories of growth and transformation. Thank you for listening.